Hello, all you beautiful people, and welcome to the Ask Evie Show. You are listening live with Evie Kane, and a very special thank you to all of you for being here today on what is yet another gorgeous sunny afternoon in Southern California. For those of you that may be listening for the first time, the purpose of this show is to give people a forum to ask about whatever personal challenge may be up for them in their life right now. Relationships, job, career, spiritual things. And being both a practical mystic and a psychotherapist, I'll try and offer some guidance based on both psychology and spirit. And want to thank you, as always, for all the amazing email questions that I've received this week, and hope that we get a chance to get to them all. And so let's get going. And the lines are open at 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And we'll start with an email question from Leandra. And Leandra writes, "Hello, Evie. My question or concern is about our 8-year-old son. After reading, listening to lectures, and finally a visit to a therapist, we're quite sure he's ADD or ADHD, although I certainly don't want him labeled as just that. I'm not ready to use mind-altering prescription drugs. We've altered his diet, tried supplements with the help from a homeopathic doctor, and the results were not enough to really help him. He's very intelligent, but we are aware that his self-esteem may be compromised due to the constant redirecting, and he has told us that he is not a, quote, normal child. Do you have any thoughts, feelings, or insights for dealing with this situation?" Well, Leandra, I certainly want to offer you some ideas on this. And you didn't mention how long you've had him on supplements, have been working with a homeopathic doctor. Sometimes on those regimens, it can take anywhere from 4 to 6 months to see any kind of noticeable difference. I love that you are so tuned into how this can be perhaps affecting him with the constant redirecting, and the, also, you know, the stigma of your concern of the stigma with that label. ADD kids who are diagnosed ADD are usually extremely intelligent and have incredibly fine minds and are so interested in a whole bunch of things. One thing I want to offer to you that I don't know if some of the practitioners have told you, is that there's different types of ADD, and depending on the type, it can affect different areas of the brain, and certain areas of the brain respond better to certain supplements and other protocols, aside from the mind-altering drugs. A resource I'd like to offer you is to contact the Amen Clinics, like the word Amen, A-M-E-N, AmenClinics.com. I had the great pleasure of meeting Dr. Daniel Amen years ago when I was an intern, and he was working in the field of addiction recovery at the time and had done incredible work with addicts and seeing the types of things that different areas of the brain were usually different from other people and what type of drug they were attracted to. And then he branched off into working specifically with ADD. And he's now gotten quite famous, and he's on, you know, PBS and all of that. There are wonderful, wonderful resources available on that website. He has a book called The Different Types of ADD. Healing ADD, which he goes into the different types and different things that are both natural and also a combination of some things, should it be required, of prescription things that may not be as intense as what you're referring to. They're located in Southern California, and I know that there's just, a top-notch, high-level group, and you might check that out. And they also have some wonderful resources for the parents, you know, like dealing with feeling so frazzled and stuff. So I hope that helps, and thanks so much for your email. And we have Jeanette from Spokane calling in. Jeanette, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Jeanette. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
How can I help? You're welcome. How can I help you today?
I was wondering, I'm inquiring about a young man named Tyler, and I'm wondering if he is going to come back home to Yakima with me, and if so, what can I do to make his life better?
Is Tyler a relative or a friend or?
You know, this sounds crazy. I think we've had some past lives together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a youth that I care about very much and trying to help out.
Mm-hmm. What's your relationship in this lifetime? Is he a friend? Is he a neighbor? Is he a son? Is he a nephew?
It's weird. It's kind of a peer slash son, but not really a son. not biologically.
Okay, but you feel like that mother-son energy with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And may I ask what caused him
to... He did not grow up with me, and I've just been his life the last couple of years and trying to make a difference. And but he's had a really, really different kind of life that he grew up in, and I'm trying to... help him get a better life, but also honor where he came from, and I'm not very good at that, and I don't know how to have a happy medium to not let him self-destruct, but also how to make his life better. I don't know how.
I can hear it in your voice. Jeanette, how old is Tyler?
18.
18?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's now what we call a young man. Like, legally an adult to vote.
Right.
And I think as somebody grows in the different stages of their life, whether they're emotionally there or not, that it's you know, what I pick up about you is you have been the rock in his life and a constant. And some of the things that may be getting played out here is You've represented, it's more than good mom energy. I feel like it's more like almost Mother Mary energy. That this,
wow.
You know, even though you may tell him what he needs to be doing, and that he knows that on a certain level, you're always there for him and loving and kind, even if you have to talk to him in tough ways. Part of what he is going through, in addition to the... you know, dealing with what you're implying about his upbringing and stuff, he's also going through that phase in his life of going into manhood and needing to separate.
He's
not done with school yet. So things may be coming up for him that he's kind of unconsciously projecting on you, his anger, his need for freedom and independence and don't smother me or whatever. And if this hasn't been going on yet, so that's what I'm picking up. And your job is not to take it personally because it isn't. Of course he does. You know, you think of the age. It's like, you know, last week on the show, somebody asked me about their 2-year-old son who said, "I hate you, Mommy, and wish you were dead." I had to say, that's not how the kid really feels, even though they're saying that. In the teenage years, as somebody's trying to kind of separate and individuate and find their own, it's more like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, the peers become the most important.
He has been homeless and lived on his own before, so I can understand how he feels like I'm smothering him at times. But then it's like he wants everything from me, but then I guess that's normal developmental too.
Right. But what is best for you to model for him is loving behavior, but with good boundaries.
Okay.
Meaning, yeah, he can bounce back and forth between being I'm homeless and my own, I'm on my own and don't tell me what to do and blah, 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 or, and please take care of me. And really, the energy that you hold and stand for, like I was saying, is that I'm always going to love you. I may not like what you're doing, and there are going to be times that you need to stand on your own. In other words, that you want to not enable him.
Okay.
And react to where he is and what he's going through in his life now, but kind of holding the door open. It's his choice whether he comes through or not to that adult life that's, you know, that you so wish for him.
Okay.
Okay?
Do you see he's coming back to Yakima?
I think that hasn't been decided yet. When I tune into him, he's very confused. My suggestion to you would be to tell him either way is okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's your choice. My choice for you would be blah, 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 and you have to make your own decision and choices now. And
okay.
I have to honor that. So what you model for him now is really, really important because you still have quite a bit of influence. And the influence of modeling that as adults we have to make our own choices and decisions, even if we make a dreadful one, or it looks that
okay.
way, that we have to, you know, there's consequences, we learn from that and we go on.
So he hasn't decided yet, and my job is to just tell him that that's his decision, and okay.
Yeah, it's more than a job. It's just that expression of motherly love, you know, is that I want what's best for you and what I might think is best for you, you know. There's a part where you have to kind of let him go to come back.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Okay, Jeanette, I wish you best, and thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Great. And the lines are open. You're welcome, Jeanette. Have a great weekend. And the lines are open at 888. I'm so sorry with that delay. You're so welcome, Jeanette. I thought you had already left. The delay on Skype is, I apologize for that if it sounds like I'm overrunning you. Anyway, the lines are open and the number is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And we have an email question from Henry. And Henry asks, or says, I was wondering if you could tune into the name of a previous coworker of mine. And I'm wondering if she's upset with me. And while I no longer work with her in the retail environment, we've kept in touch throughout the last few months. Recently, I had to ask her some important questions, which I emailed her, and she hasn't responded to my emails. And I'm wondering if our relationship will improve. And while I no longer work with the retail store, I feel it's important that we be on good terms for professional reasons, such as a reference. And I'm wondering how things will turn out here. This situation has me feeling very anxious. And while I can say it's easy to move on and let go, I'm still connected to this company and need to be for professional reasons. I just intuitively feel that this person is not acting as professional as she should, and this frustrates me also. Okay, well, Henry, there's a few things that I want to say to you here is that when we're in our fear, it's hard to hear our intuition. And even if you're spot on about that she's not acting as professional as she should, you know, the hard thing to accept is we have no control over how she acts or doesn't act. The only thing that you have control over is how you react or respond to the situation. And you sound like you're so concerned about what she might say or the harm she could do to you, and I'm going to encourage you to step back from that. You know, it's like whatever she does or doesn't do doesn't have to affect who you are and how you show up. In other words, you know, Les Brown once said, don't let someone else's opinion of you or in this case, your feared opinion of what she may think of you. Don't let someone else's opinion of you become your reality. Because then it has a funny way of, you know, giving, we give it all that energy and focus, and then wham, didn't I tell you, and she was bad-mouthing or whatever. You're not working with this woman anymore. You have some similar professional connections. And my guidance to you would be to kind of take a breath and step back and just let her go. No matter what she's done or hasn't done, it's like, try and forgive her for hurting you or not following through or not acting professional according to you. And forgive yourself for yourself, you know, for worrying and being anxious about this so that you can really move on and, like, refocus your direction on kind of, like, cutting that kind of a tie or relationship with her and getting focused back on that you do a great job. I really tune into that you're a very sensitive person and hard worker. This the sensitivity is both a blessing, and sometimes when it goes to the fear, we could almost see it as a curse, because we will take everything like as a sign that, you know, did I do this or that or whatever? And so here you are worrying in your life, and she's perhaps oblivious or out dancing. Okay, and Henry, I wanted to tell you, your name means ruler of the estate. Like the nobility. It's like you are the ruler in your own life. And so I'm going to encourage you to start going for and acting in the direction of that kind of nobility. Okay? What she thinks of you or does or doesn't do really is not going to matter very much. You have tremendous power in who you are and how you suit up and show up and are with people. And I hope that helps. Thanks, Henry. And we have Mallory from Pasadena calling. Mallory, are you there?
I'm here, Evie. It's nice to talk to you today.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you. Welcome to the show. How can I help you?
Hi, Evie. I'm actually not calling about a specific situation, but more of a general tip around the topic of the show, which is the reason season or a lifetime, or that theme. And I'm just wondering, from a spiritual perspective, how does one gauge whether someone's supposed to be in your life for a particular reason, season, or a lifetime? I'm wondering if there's a spiritual cue or something that we should be paying attention to, because sometimes, you know, maybe you allow someone to stay in your life longer than they should, or maybe they need to move from an inner circle to an outer circle. And I just wondered if you had any advice generally for how to really monitor that and listen to those vibes.
What a great question. I mean, I'm smiling because I know the little segment I would do in a few moments isn't going to cover all of that. But what I'll say is, what I found, that sometimes we don't know if someone's in our life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, for a long, long time. You know, because when people are in our life for a reason and a season and it's going well, we can sometimes feel, oh, these are my compadres, my closest friends. They're meant to be with me for a lifetime. And then things happen, such as you're saying, you know, or implying. I think the strongest barometer is you. When we love people and we have big hearts, and we have people in our life, it's very hard sometimes to let them go. But I would say that a thing to pay attention to is if after thinking, well, you know, they've had a bad day, a bad year, a bad month, and it starts to feel like it's another job that you don't want, it's like you might be holding on to situations that aren't there really meant to be in your life anymore. You know, sometimes we don't want to let people out of our lives when they leave, or you know, I'm going to be talking about that, but there is a similar thing, is we are always constantly shifting and growing in a lifetime. And, you know, sometimes we have so much in common with the people that we're with, and then we start to shift and have a different focus, and it may not feel the same. And there's no harm or blame there. But like trying to get them to get to be interested in the same things spiritually or whatever it is, that isn't going to work unless they're interested. And it's like giving them that space, but realizing is, I would say, pay attention more to how you're feeling and what the relationship feels like for you. And sometimes, it's not that they're going to be gone forever. People sometimes can appear to take off and then they come back. But it's more about that things are really happening, whether it's a reason, season, or a lifetime. I've found they're always happening for a reason, and we don't really know why all the time in that moment. Sometimes it's not till the afterwards comes the aha. Does that make any sense?
Completely. It sounds like listening to intuition and how you're feeling and gauging energy and all that is a good spiritual gauge, and knowing that could shift over time. It's not just stagnant.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, it could cycle through with relationships kind of going in and out of those different phases.
Okay. Yeah. And it's like if we're holding on or trying to evaluate, is this or that, it can sometimes put what I call a kink in the hose. You know, there's a natural flow to things.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah. Thank you, Evie. I've enjoyed listening to your show and appreciate all the good work you're doing online with all of us.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Mallory. And have a beautiful weekend, and thanks for the call.
Thanks, Evie.
And
bye-bye.
And we will go to commercial break now. Well, you know, the holiday season is coming. And I wanted to let you know about a couple of products that would be fantastic stocking stuffers. And you could think about putting some of those Healthy Feet Spa Buffing Pads and the Callus Remover products that I've talked about before in your loved one's stockings. And I'm also pleased to announce that Healthy Glow Skin Products, the name of the company, which is at the same website, healthyglowskinproducts.com, has just come out with a wonderful variety of holiday gift bags for beloved clients, friends, family, and you can check them out online. They're in beautiful organza bags filled with the buffing pads. There's a fantastic product called Pamper Me Sugar Scrub. It's just truly wonderful. The smell is like this light, citrus, clean, green smell. And with a conditioning scrub and a pair of exfoliating gloves called Just Scrub that I don't know how they do it. They exfoliate so they feel rough, but they feel wonderful on your skin simultaneously. And they have a complete at-home spa kit, which includes the buffing pads, a silk essence lotion, which is particularly, it's so wonderfully safe for people that even people with such sensitive skin that have eczema, it works really, really well. And so I encourage you to check it out. Once again, it's healthyglowskinproducts.com. And if you mention that you are calling from the Ask Evie radio show, they will give you free shipping. And we are back. And I have an email question from Heather. And Heather actually first wrote in the beginning of the week asking how to shield herself from feeling psychically attacked. And then she wrote saying that she got some information that it wasn't psychic attack per se, but more of people kind of, well, what we call an energy vampire, people pulling on her and with negative thoughts and energy. And, you know, how do I protect myself from this while I'm doing, you know, I'm a reader, a light worker, and I have to open up, but how do I protect myself from not taking on those kind of energies? And it was suggested that I do some grounding, but I'm not sure what types of grounding I can do. I already drink water. Can you advise me on this as well? And if you do have any info on shielding, as I talked about, I don't think mine are as fully effective. And truthfully, I don't fully understand the purpose of grounding and how this will affect my connection with spirit, if at all. I'm confused on that concept. Heather, these are great questions. I could do a whole show just on this, but let me offer this. Let's start with the end of your email. I don't understand the purpose of grounding and how this will affect my connection with spirit, if at all. Well, if you think about it from like picturing yourself like a tree, you know, and the leaves of the tree is like, you know, the trees, the top of the tree, the way top of the beautiful old tree is like in the heavens. And that's what we're doing, is like pulling down the information to bring through to our clients. But the trees are fully rooted to the earth. So if you can kind of get that image, what grounding does is like you want to be your chakras, the first, second, and third chakras are considered like what roots us to the earth. The heart chakra is what helps us bridge between heaven and earth. And then the throat, the third eye, and the crown chakra, those higher chakras that we use in reading. When people aren't grounded, you can get so heavenly, we can be of no earthly good. In other words, you might be taking on all this toxic stuff, or you're not being able to bring the energy down and through you in a way that can feel grounded and balanced when you're done, if that makes any sense. And for starters, what I would recommend, I know people teach different shielding techniques, and that's wonderful, and I've always found it's a combination of that plus prayer. Prayer is more powerful than any shield. Shields usually would last for an interim of time. And prayer is that direct connection with the divine. And one of the prayers that I use that I'm happy to share with you is, it's a beautiful prayer. It's associated with the Unity Church, but it really is universal. And it's a prayer directly that says, the light of God surrounds me, the love of God enfolds me, the power of God and wherever I am is. So that would help a lot if you could, you know, kind of say that and set some space. Grounding is more than drinking water. Grounding that would help you would be like going out and, for example, taking your shoes off and putting your bare feet on the grass and just picture pulling up the energies of Mother Earth to support you, to ground you. So it's like you're bringing down the energies of heaven, but you're firmly rooted on the planet as you open your mouth and give these messages. In the old days, people used to joke and call people tree huggers, but if you think about it, if you go and actually lean against a tree, like an old tree, and you just kind of feel the energy of that tree, you can feel exactly what I'm talking about. And it's like, believe it or not, trees have guardian spirits just like we do, and tremendous, the spirit beings, they look like angels. You ask the tree for that support in helping you to ground. Then after your readings, I would say pay attention to what I call spiritual hygiene, which is, you know, go home and take a salt bath, sea salt bath. Once again, those are those earth energies to help clear out your auric field so that you're completely finished with what you've been doing, and just any residual stuff is just pulled right out of your auric field because of the sea salt crystals. It's the energy that pulls. So I hope that helps. That's just a very kind of quick overview. And thanks so much for that wonderful question. Now, Summer has a question. She says, I want to know if my son's father and I are meant to be together forever or not. We are separated at the moment, and I'm very unsure as to whether I want to start over with him or move on without him. Well, Summer, I want to start by saying I was very intrigued in your question that you spelt weather actually like the weather, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, which I got a big chuckle out of. It's what we would call like a Freudian slip. I think it goes a lot along with the season that your marriage is in. And I'm noticing, I can't help but notice that your name is Summer here. And first of all, we would never know if we're meant to be together forever or not. I mean, in a certain level, when we love and we are with someone and we have a child, there's a love bond that does go on forever. The nature of the relationship and how that love is expressed may change. You are always going to be your son's parents, and there's a bond between you. So I think what you're asking is very important for you to take this in, that the weather can shift and change on any given day and in any season. And right now, you don't have very much clarity, say you're unsure. And you have a desire to, you know, you don't know whether you want to start over with him or move on without him. And I would say that when you're unclear, it's not a good time to make a decision because it doesn't come from a place of clarity. And I think under the weather front, you might have more clarity than you realize. And what I mean is take a little time to, you know, connect with spirit, to have some prayer about it, and realize that you might be in different seasons. Seasons are cyclical. You don't know. You just don't know yet. The best prayer is one for praying for clarity to make the decision. Okay? My sense is, because my psychic hit on this, is you aren't quite done yet. And that whatever hurt or something has been in the way can be repaired. And that there may be some more seasons of this left, and so I wish you the best in that. And this is a good lead-in to our weekly inspiration point, but I see that we have a caller, Lisa. And Lisa, are you there?
Yes, Evie, I'm here.
Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Thank you so much. I have been going through fertility treatment for 1 year now, and mm-hmm. this is for our second baby. I'm 41 years old, and I have a 22-month-old, and I would love your advice in terms of dealing with positive strategies for, I'd really like to use my own eggs, and mm-hmm. my physician is really kind of pushing me towards a third-party donor, and I'm just really not ready, and I just really want to have some strategies to stay present and not to be too woo-woo with them, but to say, you know, let's stick with this. Let's stay in the now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some verbiage that I could use or some positive strategies that I can use with myself and with him. My husband is completely on board with whatever I want to do.
Well, aren't you blessed with that?
Oh, very.
That's great. That's great. So many times it gets so difficult for people when someone's on board with someone else's opinion. So, and then, of course, does that feel like more pressure for you to make the right decision?
Yes.
Are you there, Lisa?
Yes, he's completely supportive of what I want to do. And I still have a lot of fight in me.
Fight? Is that what you said? You have
yes.
a lot of fight in you?
I have a lot of fight and a lot of positive energy, and I really just want to stay with this and really try and keep going. And it's been a year.
It's been a year.
It's been a year of concerted IVF concerted fertility treatment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hearing a couple of things for you. One is it might be good to take a little time off, and I know that sounds counterintuitive because I also know that back tape that goes in women, but I'm 41. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Is some of that going on?
Yeah, take some time off and go to Hawaii, right?
Well, I'm hearing that there's a lot of pressure around this, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, we know in our root chakra it's fight or flight, and it's better you have fight than listening to the flight or the fear of the doctor right now. And I'm wanting to put your mind at ease about this. I've had clients who've gone through the similar processes, and they waited a while and went to a third-party person when they were 44, 45 and had amazingly healthy kids. That's always an option.
Yeah.
And what I hear is you're not ready to do that yet. And that's great. And you have some passion about it. And so what I am going to suggest to you, though, is to take a little break from it and do just what you said. Hawaii has a vibe. It may not be that you physically need to go to Hawaii, but if you think about how you feel when you are in Hawaii and what that represents to you, that's what Spirit's showing me, is like a kind of way to fill yourself. It's like, you know, those trade winds in Hawaii is like a calming breeze that gets right into
you. I actually
am
going to Hawaii in about 3 weeks.
Well, doesn't Spirit knows what it's doing? Yeah. And I see you there, like walking on the sand along the beach and kind of throwing open your arms and Mama Kocha, the ocean, you know, asking for that, you know, gift, that gift of being able to bring life through you and just throwing open your arms to that, that you're really, really ready. Because I'm picking up that there's some other stuff coming up for you in addition to 41 and having the baby. Have you had some concerns about, are you going to have the energy to do this with two toddlers and blah, blah, you know, maybe just some little naggle of thoughts in the background that pop up sometimes?
And are people going to say, are you their grandparent?
Okay. So there you have it. Yeah, right. And you wouldn't have to worry about that. Not that we ever have to worry about that, but you probably wouldn't have to worry about that for a good 15 or 20 years, right? So you get what I'm getting at. Is the thing is, those kind of fears about being too old, whether it's mm-hmm. too old to have the child, raise the child, they're going to think I'm the grandmother's, that's the kind of all is well. Okay? So bring Hawaii home with you.
Exactly.
Bring it home in your heart, mind, and spirit.
Yes.
And I see it's really, I see it's really, really very possible for you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
In terms of verbiage to use with my physician, because I really, you know, the last appointment, I think he was really kind of pushing me. And I really want hope is the word that I have. And you know, what can I do to sort of talk to him? What do you get in terms of what I should say to him?
Well, I will say that I pick up he's a very kind man. He considers
Absolutely.
Himself to be the expert, and he's very trained in Western medicine. And according to his, you know, thing, it doesn't look hopeful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And your job is not to change his mind. Your job is to say, thank you so much for sharing all that information with me, and I'm not ready yet.
Great.
Okay?
Great.
Yeah.
Mahalo.
This is your choice. And say, you know, I might have to consider that as an alternative, and it isn't right now, though. So what I would like from you and what I need from you now is your support, given that I'm going to go this way a little further. And I have a feeling that, you know, just that time in Hawaii and doing some of the things we talked about will give you that strength, or as you call it, fight, to find just the right words. So bless you, and thank you so much for the call, Lisa.
Thank you, Evie. Goodbye.
You're welcome. So I wanted to talk with this week about reason, season, lifetime. I was blessed to get this email from someone that's a poem, a friend, and that Native American expression I've known for a long time, that people are always in our life for a reason. We don't know whether it's going to be for a season or a lifetime. And I just love this poem, and apparently it's very famous, and some of you may have heard it, and if you haven't, well, here it is. And what I'm also going to do, I hope it won't be too annoying, is I'm going to interject some things along the way. So, and this poem is anonymous. No one knows who actually wrote it, and there's a lot of wisdom in it. So here we go, reason, season, or lifetime. People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And when you know which one it is, you'll know what to do for that person. I was thinking about that, and it kind of goes with Mallory's question. Sometimes we don't know which one it is until much later. We know it in hindsight. If we're blessed to know initially, great, we know what to do. If we don't know what to do, we'll get the understanding later, and that's really what's key. The author goes on to say that when someone is in your life for a reason, it is usually to meet a need you have expressed. They've come to assist you through a difficulty, to provide you with guidance and support, to aid you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They may seem like a godsend, and they are. They are there for the reason that you need them to be. And then, without any wrongdoing on your part, or at a particularly inconvenient time, this person will say or do something to bring the relationship to an end. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they walk away. Sometimes they act up and force you to take a stand. What we must realize is that our need has been met, our desire fulfilled, and their work is done. The prayer you sent up to heaven has been answered, and now it's time to move on. Oh, God, I don't want that, we say, right? We don't want them to move on. Yeah. Then the author goes on to say, some people come into your life for a season because your turn has come to share, to grow, or learn. And they bring you an experience of peace, or they make you laugh, and they may teach you something you have never done or known before. And they usually give you an unbelievable amount of joy, and believe it, that it is real. But only for a season. I think this is the one is in being human that is so hard for us. Because when that season's over, we resist. I don't want it to be winter. Can't it be summer for a couple of more months and we can play and have some more joy? And we particularly struggle with this, I think, in love relationships. This is the hardest thing I think people deal with. Should I stay or go? Or he left or she left, and I thought it was going to be forever. And then we can start to beat ourselves up. How could I have been so wrong about them? How could I have been so stupid? I should have seen this all along. Maybe the love they felt for me was never real. Maybe I was just duped. I thought this was a great spiritual organization and it felt like a family, and now I feel like I've been put out on an ice floe. I thought they were going to be there for a lifetime. I can't even trust my own judgment. I want to remind you that the author said, believe it, it is real. But it's for that season. And because it feels so good in that season, we want it to be for a lifetime. The author then goes on to say, lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons, things you must build upon in order to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson, love the person, and put what you have learned to use in all other relationships and in all areas of your life. It is said that love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. That was an interesting end to this, I thought, because sometimes I think when we don't want that season to go, can't we have just a few more summer days, or I want you out of my life forever, and I'm going to act like the cold, icy wind of winter because you hurt me so badly. We have the lens cap over our own third eye, and we're not so clairvoyant. I was thinking a lot about the seasons here, and I was thinking, this is a beautiful poem. And, of course, in a poem, we can't write everything. It's going reason, season, or lifetime. It's perfect. And I started thinking, and I thought, you know, seasons, there's more than one. They go in cycles. If we love summer, we may hate winter and want to move away from the cold. And that's our choice in life. But we're trying to live out summer. And here I'm using it metaphorically with relationships. And we've lost sight of sometimes that a winter is an important thing to go through in our life. It's a time to pull in, reevaluate, get focused on ourselves and maybe not the other person and what they're doing. And with that comes new growth and spring and, another summer. So sometimes when we're going through that, should I stay or should I go? It's time for your own winter to go within and get clarity. And then sometimes we act like the ending is forever. Don't darken your doorstep with my presence again. You guys are jerks. You know what I'm talking about when you've been hurt. And one of the greatest gifts in life is the fact that seasons are cyclical. And maybe you've had that experience of some of those people coming back into your life so unexpectedly. People that you wrote off because you were betrayed or hurt or circumstances changed. And maybe they come back to you and say, wow, I have missed you so much. I'm so sorry for what I did. I couldn't see then what I know now. And we have a choice whether we let them in. And we may not know, are they serious or not? But there's an opportunity for another season. That's when our friendships are really what I think the author meant by clairvoyant. It's in those times with a softening of the heart when someone that we thought was gone comes back and really acknowledges us for who we are. And can own their own mistakes and shortcomings. Those are gifts from God. Those are the friends that are gold. Those are the keepers. Those are the relationships of a lifetime. And let's just take a moment for some music. And we're back, and the lines are open at 888-815-9756. And while we're waiting, let me deal with an email question that's from Betsy in London. And Betsy, I know this is a two-part question, so I'm going to save half of it for next week when we're going to be talking about love relationships in detail with my guest. But Betsy writes that I'm currently working away from my home and my boyfriend, feeling physically in limbo, and the company time. The work so far has been extremely fulfilling, but our clients have recently shown that they aren't the kind to take positive risks and ultimately do interesting things, which is both what makes it fulfilling and also how I build my reputation. The company is getting ready to make me an offer, but I have an inside source which has told me the salary is probably going to be pretty low. Both of these pieces obviously give me pause. Any psychic hits on the aforementioned? And, Betsy, I am going to tell you what you're already saying you know, but doubting. You know, these things about it giving you pause. It just doesn't sound like it's a good match. And if you're doing such a great job and they're going to lowball you with an offer, it would be a great disservice to yourself to devalue yourself to the point where you would accept that offer. You know, as an independent contractor, you know, if you're that valuable to them, you know, maybe they're looking at whatever it is about salary, they can't afford to pay benefit, blah, 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 all that. I mean, there's a possibility there that you could keep doing that. But, I, as an independent contractor, have more write-offs, so it's worth more. But this is really more about you, because you want a job that's fulfilling and helps build your reputation. And what are you going to be telling yourself and about your reputation if you're so valued and you accept something in business where you're feeling devalued by the money? So I encourage you to stand in your power. There's more coming, and not to accept this and to have the courage and faith of your convictions. And thanks for that email. And Karen from Nevada is calling. And Karen, are you here?
I'm here.
Yes, Karen. Hi, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, I was actually wanting to know if there are any messages or that type of psychic messages.
Could you be more specific, Karen? Because I know you're asking me a general psychic reading, but did you have a particular, because of the nature
I'm
of the show, do you have a particular
I'm
thing you want to ask
maybe
about?
About past lives or anything that has influencing me in this life.
Mm-hmm. Karen, what I'll say to you is what I'm picking up is this is something I'd usually go into a lot more depth with one-on-one. And, you know, on the radio
okay.
show, what I will say to you is that you have some influences from a past life that are causing you to have some, I keep picking up about doubts or lack of confidence and what to be doing in the next phase of your life. Whether it's around,
exactly.
I get more about around career or purpose, but it's also
yes.
spilling over into familial and love relationships. Does that resonate with you at all?
It's right on.
Okay, great. So now what I will say to you is that the past, right now in the present, regardless of what's happened in the past life, it's important for you to start affirming
uh-huh.
what it is you want, okay? What it
okay.
is I want. Because no matter whether it was past life in this life or past life, mm-hmm. right now we have choices, you know?
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Those can be influences, but they are not the sole determinators, if that's a word, of our future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so getting clear on what you want and standing in your ground that this is what I want. And if your prayer is to have courage, to have belief in myself, that's what I'm hearing is the most important. So thank you
okay.
for the call.
Thank you.
And Cheryl from Australia. Cheryl, are you there?
Hello. I'm here, Abby. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Cheryl. Welcome to the show. What's your question today?
My question relates to my two children. I have a daughter and a son, aged 13 and 11, and we're currently studying from home via distance education. And
Cheryl, I am so sorry. We have the most garbled connection. I am so sorry. Okay. Would you be willing to email me your question, and I will personally answer it?
I will do. Thank you, Evie.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. And if you send that to me at evie@askevieradio.com because you called in, I'll be sure that we respond to you, okay? And it looks like that's all that we have time for today. And I want to let you know that next week I have a very special guest coming on the show, Audra Garcia, who is one of the most amazing, she's a woman of very, very many talents. And she's one of the premier psychics on onetolisten.com. And I've worked with Audra in the past, and she's got so many gifts and talents that it was hard for us to focus in on what she was going to do next week. And I love that she came up with, you know, that the relationship issues that people have, and it's all about love and really about self-love and how do we do that and project that vibration to have it reflected back to us with people that really love and support us in our life. And she's just an amazing person and so warm and friendly. So I'm very blessed to have her with us next week. And I would encourage you to call in directly. We're getting so many emails now, which is so wonderful. But, you know, send the emails in for sure. But if you can call in directly, that'd be a much better assurance of having your question answered live. Okay. And encourage you, if you can't call in, surely get those emails in early, because we just had so many. And some of you that did have questions, there were about four I couldn't get to today, but they are about relationships, and I'm going to put them in the queue for next week's Ask Evie show. So I so look forward to that show, and what a great topic. So I want to close with once again thanking everyone who's helped to make this show possible, Dawn and the crew at BBS Radio, and the personal production team of Mark and Paula and Betsy, and our amazing musicians, Anna and James, who remind us of how beautiful we all are and to let our light shine each week. And a special thank you to all of our unseen helpers, the divine ones who are with us always, every day, and are the ones that really make this show possible. So I wish you all a beautiful weekend and a wonderful week. And let's end with that beautiful message from James Stewart in South Africa with his award-winning song, Shine.